Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It's communion this morning, and I've been asked to remind all members that there is a meeting after the service. There will be tea and coffee, though, so you can bring your tea in. It's nice to have Nathan back, and Anna, of course. Okay, so we're going to start this morning's service with When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and then we're going into communion.
Deacons, please do come and join me as we prepare to serve communion. Good morning to you all. It's so good to see you all. So good to be back with you and to focus our attention this morning on the cross at Calvary. I think it's so appropriate that we have recently moved communion to the beginning of our services, because at the end of the day, Everything starts with the cross. The whole basis of the Christian faith, the church of Jesus Christ, it would be nothing without the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He suffered. He bled. And he died for you and for me. Such love, such wondrous love, that God would love a sinner just like I. And that's why we are here together this morning to commemorate and to celebrate this sacred meal together, the symbol of our Christian faith. And there really is no greater love than this on display, that a man would lay down his life and then he calls us all his friends. And if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you have placed your trust and your confidence in him, received the gift of salvation, then you are more than welcome to partake of this sacred meal. But if you are not yet at that place, then we would encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by until you come to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ for yourself. I'm going to ask one of our deacons to come now, Paul, and he's going to pray a prayer of blessing for the bread and for the wine.
Father God, we just say thank you that you are wonderful. Thank you, Heavenly Father God, for your love.
Yes.
And we thank you, Heavenly Father God, for this table that is set before us. And we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we receive it as from yourself. Lord, from your hand. Lord, that our lives will be blessed in you. And we say thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth, he records these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received of the Lord that which I also now deliver unto you, that the same night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread and gathered around a table with his friends, his disciples. He said, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for each of you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Well, as you are now served with what represents the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. If by chance you have been missed, please do raise your hand and one of the deacons will ensure that you are served with the elements. Okay? Amen. Thank you, Alan. Amen. In like manner, he then took the cup and he said these words, "This cup is the new covenant that will now be in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it. Do it in remembrance of me. For as oft as we eat of this bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Amen. Amen. Well, as you are now served with what represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed at the cross of Calvary, please do retain your cups until we've all been served, and then we'll partake together as a sign of our unity through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You are my only hope.
The hymn writer of old asked the question, what can wash away my sins? And the answer is nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let us drink together the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, once again, collectively and individually, we want to express our gratitude to you. You have been so good to us. You have demonstrated time and time again your love for us, your care, your protection, your guidance in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. But once again, we want to say thank you for the cost of our salvation, for Jesus Christ, who was obedient even to the point of death on a cross. And that's why we can all be here together this morning to offer our praise and worship, because of what Jesus had done for us over 2,000 years ago. So we love you, we bless you, we honor you now. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Terry.
Thank you, Nathan. Has any of the children or young people had a birthday in the last week or got one coming? I know Richard has, but anyone else? Oh, happy birthday. I won't ask how old you're going to be. So, and you, Carol? Tuesday. And Graham? Ooh, busy week. Okay, no children. Okay, but we're saying happy birthday anyway. Yeah, because that's nice.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Now we're going to invite Nathan and Anna up onto the stage. I know, I don't think they're expecting it. Sorry. And Fiona and Dave. And they will explain. Sorry.
Obviously, we all know. You've just got married, so it's lovely to have you back here with newlyweds. And members of the congregation didn't know what to get you, so they gave us money, which that's all the details for what has been transferred to your account as the generous gifts from the members. And here is a new
Thank you, Anna. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Nathan and Anna and for bringing them together. And yet we realise that they have separate individual lives, as Anna works in school and Nathan is based here. Father, we just pray for Anna and for all Christian teachers as they seek to teach children these days. So difficult when things are being taught in schools that are against your word. And yet, Lord, we just pray for Christian teachers and pray especially for Anna, that you will bless her, use her, guide her and give her wisdom in all that she does. We pray too for Nathan. We thank you for him, for all he does here with the various studies and various groups he has to and meetings he has to attend to. Father, bless him and use him powerfully amongst us, we pray. We just thank you for him. And although, Lord, we pray for them as individuals, we pray for them too as a couple, as they start their married life together. Father, bless them as a couple. We pray that you will just bless them and use them here amongst us in this church. And we pray, Lord, for each one of the church members and us as a congregation here, that we might support them practically, that we might support them prayerfully, and that, Lord, we might continue to support them, even though perhaps decisions might be made that we are not happy with. Yet, Lord, we do pray that you will help us to support Nathan and Anna to our fullest extent. Father, bless us as a church as we go forward, and may we continue to see numerical, relational and spiritual growth as we seek to go forward in the days to come. So hear our prayer and bless us, we pray. Bless Nathan and Anna and use them amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Say thank you to the entire church. Thank you so much for your love. It is a privilege to serve you as your minister and pastor, and I'm just grateful for each and every one of you. I was talking with Anna this morning, and today is the 17th, right? And it was September 17th last year I was ordained right here, so it's 1 year today. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord. And thank you so much for how you've received me and how you've welcomed Anna. And she has just been such a blessing. I don't know how I was able to do it, you know, by myself. Seriously, you know. I put clothes in the washing laundry thing and it automatically appeared. It's amazing. You know, just amazing. It's amazing. To God be the glory. Thank you.
Children and young people are going to leave us now, and we're going to sing "For I'm Building a People of Power" whilst they go out. So now we're going to go into a time of worship. So feel free to sit, stand, whatever you feel most comfortable. The first song we're going to sing is "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me."
Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my King. All the chains.
Nathan what he was preaching on and if there was anything he'd like me to include, and he gave me a bit of a clue as to what he was going to be talking about, and I thought about it and prayed about it, and I came across something that I just would like to read you. As I pondered this bridge on which I stood, I thought about the evangelistic theme of building bridges, developing relationships with people so you can speak into their lives with the hope of Jesus. We build those connections because we care deeply for the person and want them to know the peace found in a relationship with Christ. The bridge building is incredibly and internally important, especially when it's much easier to just sit in our pews on a Sunday, protected from the world, not giving a thought to anything else. So I just want to say this to you. Building bridges to our family and friends can have infinite number of benefits, but ultimately we need to step out in faith and use that bridge for its design purpose. As we cross it to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ. So we need to be looking for opportunities. Could be watching a film with one of our friends or just a situation in life, but we need to cross that bridge and let the Holy Spirit guide us. Okay, Agnes is going to read two verses, I believe, from Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. You can sit down if you want, sorry. And then it's going to be followed by prayers by Bev.
Our Bible reading is taken from Paul's epistles to the people of Colossians, chapter number 4, verse 2 and 3. I read, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. I take the last verse again. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Thanks be to God.
And we know that your blood and your body were broken for us. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that we have salvation in you. But Lord, now we want to pray for those who need that salvation. Father, as Terry has mentioned, for those in our families who have not yet stepped into your kingdom, Lord, we pray for them now. in our minds, we think of their names. Lord, bring them into your kingdom and make us bold to cross the bridge and to go and speak to them about you. And Lord, in that vein, we pray for Alpha Father. Lord, we thank you for those who came this week. But Lord, we pray that more would come through the doors and hear the real basics of the faith and get a good foundation in having a faith in you. Oh Lord, be with all those who are leading and taking those groups. Father, we ask that you will indeed pour out your Spirit on those groups gathering together. And Father, as we look into the wider world, Lord, we see fire and earthquake and flood and famine, and perhaps think that time is pressing. So, Lord, we pray for those countries who are in terrible situations at the moment with what we call natural disasters, but, Lord, were forecast a long time ago. Father, we pray that you would be in each of those local communities. Lord, we know that they haven't really got a lot of government support or a lot of infrastructure, and we pray that you would help the local communities to be there. Father, we pray for the aid that is going across and ask that it would get there swiftly and in the right place. Oh, and Father, we pray for those families who are mourning and breaking their hearts over their loved ones. Father, we want you to be their comfort, their provider, and bring them peace in their situation. And Lord, too, we continue to pray for those countries who find themselves at war. Lord, we think of the Ukraine, but Father, there are so many smaller countries. And Lord, we know that there is unrest and unrest against Christians in many countries. We pray for those who are enduring this persecution. And Father, as we come closer to home, Lord, we want to remember Sarah this morning. Father, we missed her this morning, Lord. We know that she would be sitting at the back and doing something on the projector. Lord, thank you for her faithful service. But Lord, we pray that you will be with her and that over the next 24, 36 hours, the operation that she needs on her broken leg will take place. Oh Lord, we pray that you will be the one who is managing her pain and discomfort, that you would be the one who holds a hand through everything. And Lord, we pray for Sarah. And Father, we pray for Roy and the rest of the family. Lord, ask that you would give healing in that situation and that it would be quicker and that would be over and done with. And Lord, that she can recover and come home. So Father, we bring all these things to you. Your hand is not too small to touch every life. And we ask that you would bring your blessing into all these situations. Amen. Amen.
We're going to sing "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord," followed by "I See the King of Glory," and then Nathan will bring the sermon to us.
Because you
Oh,
Please do take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much, Terry and the worship team, for leading us so beautifully this morning in worship. And certainly it's a privilege to every opportunity to open up the Word of God and to share His truth with you. Now, just to let you all know, members of the church, just to remind you that immediately after the service, or not immediately, we're going to break for teas and coffees, and then we're going to come right back here into the sanctuary for our members meeting. And let me encourage members who are here today, if you are not regularly able to come to the Wednesday night meetings because it clashes with your own schedules, let me just encourage you, this is a good opportunity just to stay behind. You're already here. So just stay behind, and we're not going to keep you long, and we want you to be involved in the decision making of the church. Amen? Amen. All right, so I want to get right into the Word of God. I'm not going to keep you long because I want you to be refreshed for the members meeting. So just give me 12 minutes. Give me 12 minutes. Oh, ye of little faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. And it reads like this. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself... I'm going so quick, they can't... Yeah. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself, this is Paul speaking, he said, he's made himself a servant to all, that I might win the more. Can we say the more? That's Paul's goal here. He's saying, although I am free from all people, I have no restrictions, that they don't hold any limitations on me, I'm free from all of them. But, he says, I have decided to make myself a servant to all, that's for the purpose of winning more. Then he says, and to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews, to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ. That is the Gentiles. That is us. He's saying, I have made myself a servant also to the Gentiles, that I might win those who are without the law. Then he says, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. And then he says, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And in verse 23, now this I do for the gospel's sake, for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We know your word is already blessed. It is anointed. But Lord, as your servant preacher now, as I stand, Lord, in your holy place, I pray that you would anoint me afresh. And I pray for each and every one of us here this morning. We pray, Lord, that we would receive, Lord, with gladness of heart, what thus saith the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Should we really be concerned about the numbers? Can we say that together? Should we really... about the numbers. Friends, it was John Wimber who once shared a story of a young man who worked as a diver for his local aquarium. The young man's passion was to dive and to search, in particular, for exotic fish. And in conversation with the young man, he shared with John that one of the most popular fish in the aquarium is the shark. The shark. And he explained that if you catch a small shark and you decide to confine the small shark, then it will stay a size proportionate to the aquarium that you put it in. And as a result of the shark being confined to an aquarium, it is possible for that small shark to be only 6 inches long. 6 inches long, yet the shark is fully matured. However, if you turn that same shark and you let that shark loose in the ocean, then now that little shark has the potential to grow to their normal length of 8 feet. So in other words, the shark has the potential to grow, but it all depends on the state of the environment. Is the environment conducive for small-scale growth? Or is the environment compatible for exponential growth? It's amazing that just this week, I had a conversation with one of our deacons, and he had no idea about what I was about to preach, or so I don't think he did, had no idea about what I was about to share this morning. And he shared with me that God had impressed upon his heart that God was about to bless this church with exponential growth. He said that this sanctuary would not have room to receive the amount of people that will come through the doors. Now, all you have to do even now, although we haven't arrived at that yet, is look around you and you can see that we are growing in number. Now, when he shared this with me, in the flesh, it's easy, and I'm sure there are times where we can all attest to this, it's easy to say, well, you know what, I've heard this all before. Sounds good, but is it really going to happen, Terry? Terry says, yes, good. But sometimes the limitations of our flesh, it can make us confine our expectations based upon what we see around us. And also we base our expectations based upon the current trajectory of the Christian faith that we see around us in the nation and in the world at large. Because it's easy to read newspapers, to look at the blogs and the articles that tells us that the church is decreasing in number. It's easy to look at that, and even dare I say that the Church of England, that suggests that even in the next 25 years or so, they are worried that many churches will have to close. So really, are we really prepared, or do we really believe that God is able to bless us with exponential growth? Growth that we would not even have room enough to receive. And as we draw this three-part mini-series to an end this morning, my job this morning is to sound the alarm. That's my job. To sound the alarm and to encourage each and every one of us to do some soul searching. Week one of the series, we were encouraged to examine our spiritual lives. How are we growing spiritually this year? And secondly, a gentleman by the name of David Gordon was here. And he shared with us the challenges of relational growth. He used the illustration in the text of Paul and Barnabas and the tensions that they faced in their ministry. Because we recognize that in all churches, there are times when there are problems and situations that we have to deal with. Relational problems as we see growth in the life of the church. But now it's time this morning to look now at numerical growth. Numerical growth. Now, let me say this. Whenever we pray for growth, whenever we have expectations of growth, we have to first and foremost recognize that whenever we are looking for growth, we have to be prepared for the challenges. Yesterday, myself and Graham, we attended a safeguarding course in Gillingham. And it was such a hard task to make it to Gillingham and back. So much going on, roadworks and diversions. And just what would normally be a 25-minute or 30-minute journey, it took us over nearly 2 hours to get there and back. And it was frustrating. I could see the sighs in Graham. Frustrating. But then I began to do some thinking about this. We know that they are doing major works here in Sittingbourne, to the exits and the entrances into Sittingbourne. And although we can see them at work, Vi, and at the current state, it may feel as if they are being a nuisance. But the greater vision of which in which they are working at, once that vision comes to pass, it should be a beautiful thing. When it's done, we will be able to see, oh, now it makes sense. I'm looking forward to seeing the completed work. But in the interim, we have to work out the challenges. It's uncomfortable, diversions, setbacks, having to reroute. We don't like it. It's not comfortable for us. We would rather just get to the expected end and enjoy the benefits of the growth without having to endure the challenges that come with growth. So, I want to encourage all of us here today to raise our expectation levels that God is able to bless this church and this community with exponential growth. Do we believe it? Do we receive it? Is God able to do it? Then we are to look forward to what God wants to do amongst us. However, in closing this morning, I told you I was going to be brief. I want to leave with you today the right motives for expecting growth and also the wrong motives for expecting growth. Because as a church, it's important that, yes, it's okay to say, oh, yes, we're looking for growth, but what is our motives for desiring growth, both personally in our own spiritual lives and also collectively as a church? So if we can go to the first one, we're going to deal with some of the wrong motives. The wrong motives for growth. And the first one, if we can go back to the first one, is tailored growth for preferences. Tailored growth for preferences. And this basically means that we desire growth, we are looking for growth, we want the church to grow, but we want the church to grow based upon our own preferences. The growth has to resemble our own personal preferences. And if we receive growth that is not a part of our own individual preferences, then we don't want that. That is a wrong motive for looking for growth. Because if we truly want to see God grow the church, then we have to be expected to receive a whole host and a variety of different people, styles, and preferences. And we've got to be able to deal with that and make room for people. Second one, more money for the church. More money for the church. Now, don't get me wrong, we know this, and if you don't believe me, have a chat with our treasurer, Fiona. Ministry that is extensive is also expensive. Ministry that is extensive is also expensive. We know we need money in the church, but if our primary goal is only based for monetary gain for the church, then that is not the right motive for seeking growth in the church. It's not just about, oh, the coffers are going to be nice and full now. Oh, great. That is not the primary motive that we should be focusing on. Shouldn't be for more money for the church. Number three, to boast of the biggest church in town. Competition. And this is why, dare I say, sometimes although I see the importance of going to ministers' conferences, and that's, I love doing that, but sometimes we have to be careful with just ego bashing each other. How many numbers do you have in your church then? Or how many numbers do you have in your church? If our primary focus is to boast that we go to the biggest church in Sittingbourne, we have the biggest church, more members than anyone else in the town, then that is not the right motive for church growth. We have to be careful that when God does and continues to grow the church, that we remain humble. It's not about that we have the biggest church in town. It's not about that things seem to be happening positively in the church. Yes, we thank God for that, but that should not be the primary focus, to take that and then to boast in the town that we have the best and the greatest church in the town. It's all for the glory of Jesus Christ. So we have to be careful with boasting. Number four, personal achievements in soul winning. So now, because God is using us to share the gospel with others, and we see fruit in that, we now take it upon ourselves to think that it's really all about us. I've got the right tactics. I know what I'm doing. I'm the best soul winner. No, again, it's all for the glory of God. Five, finally, to manipulate and to control people. That is a wrong motive for expecting church growth. So the more people we get in, now we can control them, manipulate them. Got to be careful with that. Our job is to point people to Christ. So now, and you'll see in your sermon notes, there's some space for you to add some yourself. So maybe at home you can look for some more wrong motives that you can think of. Now let's go on finally to the right motives. Number one, to fulfill the Great Commission. Can we say that together? To fulfill? Yes. We have received an age-old mandate, and the mandate has not changed. We do not have a new vision. It's the same vision that Jesus gave to his disciples. Go into all the world and proclaim, preach the good news. And we take that very same biblical mandate and we continue to apply it to our lives and to the life and ministry of the church. So we expect growth because we want to fulfill and to participate in the Great Commission. It's not the Great Commission of Sittingbourne Baptist Church. It's the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Number two, to glorify God and to decrease the impact of Satan in the world. Because every time someone comes to know Jesus, we decrease the influence and the impact of the devil in our community. That's exciting. More Christians in the town, that means the less opportunity that the devil has work for people to do. So we decrease Satan's kingdom, but we enlarge the kingdom of God. Number three, more opportunities to care for people. And it's important, I've put in brackets, we see, when we see numerical growth, it's not just for statistical purposes that we want growth. We have to see the people, not the statistics. These are souls. These are precious people to God. And we have a responsibility to care for them. Not just to see more bums on seats. But these are individual people who God loves. And we have a responsibility to provide care and to lead them in the right way towards God. Number four, another right motive, a greater impact and influence within the local community for Jesus Christ. As I said, the more Christians we have in this town, that gives us more influence for Christ in this town. So now even the elected officials who govern this town, they would have to take more notice of what is taking place in the town, because there are more spirit-filled Christians who are raising up the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ in the town. Amen. They're going to have to listen to us more now. Yes. Amen. Amen. Greater impact. We don't just want to see more people in the local building, but we want those same people who come to the building to go out into the community and to touch people's lives and to make a difference in the town. How many of you, when you leave this sanctuary, take notice of what is written above the door? Who knows what it says? Just above. Oh, yeah. As we go out, there's a beautiful message. Can you see it? Go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. Some of you didn't even notice it, did you? Who know, Deacon, when was that put up there? How long ago? When the new doors were done, right? So that's what? How many years ago, roughly? 14 plus years ago, right? Some of us have never noticed it. Oh, we wait for the church meeting, and we'll But it's a reminder for us that we don't just come to be charged up, but we come to be refilled and to be charged to go out and make disciples. And the going out to make disciples is not just the responsibility of the evangelism team. It's the responsibility of each and every one of us, God's children, the church of Jesus Christ. Finally, and I'm done, to reach and welcome all people. So that means the diversity that we see amongst all races in this community should be reflected in the life and the ministry of the church. It should be a welcoming place, a welcoming environment for all people. And we've got to work hard to ensure that all people have an opportunity to have their voices heard in the church. I was speaking with the minister at Gillingham Baptist Church yesterday, and he was sharing the same thing, that how God is blessing Gillingham Baptist Church, and they are seeing various different races come into the church. And they are working together as a local church to ensure that each one has an opportunity to be involved, to be listened to, and to be welcomed. Amen. I'm finished. How did I do? How long was that, Anna?
About
20 minutes.
20
minutes. Worship team, please come back. We're closing. In all seriousness, as I stand here today, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart, and I concur with our deacon who shared with me on Friday, I believe that God is going to do great things amongst us. And I just want to encourage each of us to raise our level of expectation. Yes, we have to be prepared for the bumps in the road. As I said, in order to get to that expected end, it's going to be bumps and bruises along the way. But let us not lose sight of the vision. Let us not lose sight of why we are praying and seeking for growth. Because we want to see God's kingdom come and His will be done.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all.
Okay, to close, we're going to sing "I Want to Serve the Purpose of God in My Generation." And afterwards, if anyone needs prayer, I think the prayer corner will be open, will it, Nathan? As usual, yeah. And then teas and coffees in the lounge before your meeting.
Beautiful, beautiful song. Thank you. so much. Please do join us in the lounge for teas and coffees or a cold drink if you desire, and a chance to fellowship. And again, for members of the church, we will reconvene back in here for our church members meeting. Let me also just remind you all that Alpha kicked off last week. And this week again, we'll be back at 7 p.m. For round two. The meal will start at 7 and then our session will start at 7:30. So please do come along. If you weren't able to make it last week, you are welcome to join us this week. And please do consider and pray prayerfully invite someone to be a part of the Alpha course. God bless you all. Let's pray and receive the benediction now. Father, we thank you that you desire for your kingdom to grow and for your church to be a major impact and influence in this community and world. And we pray for each and every one of us that, Lord, that we would have that spirit of expectation, knowing that you are able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So as we leave this place now, but never depart from your presence, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now, evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Love you.
Pour out the oil of gladness.
This is the day.
to the poor.
This is the year
to bind up the brokenhearted.
Captive. This is our year.
And to